This is Wendy Smith recording Paul Hawes talking about the changing face of Burwell on the 20th of March 2014.
We start at the Fox Junction, Hive Lane Junction, and work our way down North Street. This first photograph, you can see the co-op, which had a thatch roof. Opposite is Goldsmith's Butcher Shop. Just before the co-op, there's a little building which was Bridgman's shop. It's now Tina's. And as we work, the photograph is showing a hospital parade, I think it is. Oh, no, it's to mark the peace celebrations in 1919. This is another one of the same corner, which I think the proper name before used to be called Cross Trees. It shows Bridgman's shop, a sort of hardware, grocery shop, a shop where you could buy anything from. Just past that, there's a co-op.
So has this been knocked down and replaced with Tina's,
converted? This has been knocked, completely demolished and replaced with Tina's. Opposite is Goldspink, the butcher's shop, who used to deliver meat in North Street. At the co-op, they had one side for groceries and one for drapery. Here is a picture of Mrs. Bridgman's grocery shop, a Capstan Navy cup, Will's Gold Flake. She's a draper and a grocer. This is a bit of the Cambridge Cooperative Society Limited. Grocery, provisions, boots and drapery.
Why did they normally sell food with drapery?
I don't know. In that, they had a counter each side of the shop. Food was one side and drapery was the other. And I think they only had one shop and they wanted to sell a lot of stuff. Now, this is a photograph, how it is now. This is 1999, but I think it was altered and extended, and a previous photograph to this one, we saw had a thatch roof. This is a photograph of Tina's, which replaced Mrs. Bridgman's on the corner of Hive Lane. Previous to Tina's, we had it was a Burwell fireplace shop. And previous to that, I think Mike Pike ran a grocery store from there, and they called it Mike's Mace. Huh. There's a picture of Goldspink the Butcher, which is now... I think it's a convenience store. I'm not sure what name it has now, but...
The Nicer.
The Miser.
Nicer or Nicer. I think that's the one.
And after Goldspink, it became the paper shop. Then what it is now, the Miser and the Miser. Just past the co-op, on your left, was Brown's Garage. You can see the three petrol pumps there, and behind that was a big coal yard, and it's now, I think it's called Kingfisher, no, it's called Myrtle Drive now. Yeah,
the newer houses.
Yeah, just past the co-op on the left is Myrtle Drive, and that's where Brown's Garage was. This house has been demolished and three houses built in its place. This is a photograph of Mr. Wallace's Rolls Royce being filled with petrol at Brown's garage in 1964. Mr. Wallace lived and owned and lived in Burwell House, and he was a big bookmaker. This is number 6 North Street, Burwell. All the way down the village was little small holdings, and this shows you Israel Saunders in 1856 to 1927 he lived. And this is his corn stack in his yard at number 6A North Street, where 6A North Street, Burwell now stands. And it would be just past the butcher's shop on your right.
So did he grow this in the back garden type of thing, or did he bring that from his field?
These houses had big gardens which went right through to Silver Street, so he could have grown it in his back garden, or he could have had an allotment. This is another little shop we had in between Barbara's and just past Brown's yard on your left going down the village. I cannot remember that one. Now, this is looking... We're down North Street a little way now, looking back towards the Bushel and the Co-op. And the houses on the left are Brooklands. Just by that is a, I think it's a factory of house. They were little small holdings. The opposite side of the road was Charlie Bridgman's, the dairyman, who used to deliver our milk. And every morning he used to drive his cattle up towards Hive Lane and down to the Wares, where he had a little meadow, and they was there all day. And he'd fetch them back in the evening to milk them.
Was it milk sold in the churn type of thing? Or
It was bottled, but yes, it came in bottles with a cardboard cap.
Oh.
With a hole in the middle, yes.
Oh, what, so he did, it wasn't pasteurised or anything, it was literally from the cow into the bottle?
Yes. They had a dairy, and I think they took the cream off, skimmed some of it and made butter and stuff, but that we had. After sat all day, all night, you just get about 2 inches of cream on the top of it. But it quickly went off. It didn't last like it does nowadays, you know. Milk lasts about a week, doesn't it?
Yes.
This is Bright Cottage. This was Charlie Bridgman's yard, where his dairy was. After Charlie, I don't know how much longer, but Barry and Mary Hunkin lived there before they moved down to Cornwall. This is number 12 North Street, going down on your right. That's just previous to Brooklyn Cottages. And it looks as if there was a little shop there, but I cannot remember that. See, there's a slot machine on the side there, and there's products in the window. Now, this old barn stood in North Street, going down from the co-op on your left, and Mr. Green will hold it for several years to... it was on the road edge at the entrance to Hatley Drive, somewhere in that area, and Mr. Green will hold it, the farmer who lived further down North Street, hard at to store his corn and odds and ends in.
Oh, is that why it's called Hatley Drive?
No, the reason why it's called Hatley Drive, there used to be an old chap in the village called Morris Hatley, and he owned that some of the land behind where Hatley Drive is.
Ah.
And Morris Hatley was a sort of handyman. He could turn his hand at anything. If you wanted a tree sawn down, Morris Hatley would come and do it. Not with a chainsaw. They had big cross-cut hand saws and that. And I've been with him lots of times when he just supervised. When you're cutting a tree down, which is about 3 foot odd in diameter, and your saw is about 6 foot long, they cut a big wedge in the front so that topples over and to get it to topple right, the wedge in the front's got to be cut right and your saw cut's got to be right. And I was a schoolboy at the time, but they used to have a man on the handle of each end of the saw and a piece of rope. So if there's a half a dozen men there, they'd all be on the saw,
cool,
for three each side. Because it took a long while to saw a piece of a tree trunk, which is 3 foot in diameter. But now, we're going, if they're taking a tree down, they climb up with a little chainsaw that doesn't weigh hardly anything and start from the top and cut it downwards, yes. This here old barn was, again, round about the entrance to Hatley Drive.
So all these photographs are really going down the road then?
Yes, we're working from the co-op downwards. This is a picture of the Grange after it caught fire. The Grange, I'm not sure who owns it now, but Clark's the hairdressers was there. And during the war, the soldiers were stationed there. And if you can see traces of the wall, the bottom of the wall was painted white. And the top of the wall was painted red, you know.
Oh, right.
The army likes to paint everything, don't they?
Oh, right, so it was like the flag?
Yeah, probably, yeah. And that was, and the army was stationed there. Just before the Grange was a meadow, and in that, Mr. J. Turner, he used to own steam engines and thrashing tackles, and they used to stand in there. And I can remember them being in that meadow when I was a schoolboy. I think it must be part of the Grange. This bungalow here is Warren Stevens, the owner of the windmill, the previous owner of the windmill. That's where he lived in North Street.
So is she another one of the family?
Yes. The bungalow was be back here, and that's the entrance, and that's where Warren's brother Alfred lived. And going down the street, the next roof is the roof of the Maidshead pub. Sorry, roof of the Queen's Arms pub. It was a pub until 1969. And that's the barn behind the Queen's Arms. I'm not sure. This is another one of the Queen's Arms pub. That's a private house now. On this photograph, to our right is the entrance to Burwell House, and opposite is, I'm sure these houses are not there, is an entrance to what they call Retail Yard, which was owned by the Ball family who lived in Burwell House, and that went down to the river where all the barges came and brought their commodities up. In this photograph, looking at it, you see in the distance the pub sign of the Queen's Arms.
Right.
And this is the white gates here is a Good Charles builder's yard. Good Charles were the builders. They're still building in the 60s, but I think that's all retired now, and Bob Rollison owns it now. Don't know what that is. Hold on. This is one of the little village stores opposite Burwell House, Dunnett and Fuller. There you buy, you know, your groceries. They'd done a little bit of drapery in the side window. And Dunnett and Fuller, after they retired, their daughter Sheila, who married my cousin John, I think cousin John ran it for a little while as a sort of mace or that sort of shop. But now there's a private house. There's another one of Dunnett and Fuller's shop. Decorated for the coronation, King George the VI and Queen Elizabeth. That'd be the Queen Mother, wouldn't it? 1947. There's another one, Dunnett and Fuller's. Oh no, it became a Maid Marian food store.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I never heard of Maid Marian.
No, you haven't heard. That's the number one of Dunnett and Fuller's. After the food, the grocery store had finished, Bill Hunter owned it as a bicycle shop. And he was a keen cyclist. He was Scotch, and he often biked from Scotland to here.
Blimey.
And he sort of spent his time repairing cycles. That's a picture of Burwell House covered in ivy. Look at that.
Horrible.
Or Virginia creeper or something like that. That's another, all these four pictures of Burwell House at various times. That's now a centre for further education. This is when the sewer came to Burwell.
What did people use before that?
A bucket and chucker.
Oh, right.
Yes.
How very pleasant.
Yes. They did cesspits in the garden. That was a pit in the garden, bricked up, and it was in two parts. Everything went in to one part, the solids dropped to the bottom, and the liquids rose and went into another compartment, which is sort of had holes there all the way around, and that used to soak away in the ground.
Oh, into the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why everyone grew in the back garden then, it was all healthy manure.
Yes. And I think the sewer came in about 1972 or something like that.
Oh, it's not that long, really, in the scheme of things, is it?
It's since we live in here, because they hand dug our sewer trench at the back there.
Oh, right.
There was a gang of Irishmen, cut off dig. And this is the gatehouse to retail yard. That's completely disappeared now. And that was a little house. I think one chap called Durrant lived there. It was next door to Durrant and Fuller's. In the distance on this one, you can see on the right is the Burwell House wall.
Right.
And in the distance is the Yanker pub. That's the Anchor Pub. That house is demolished. That one still stands there. And opposite here is Brown's the Farmers. Used to be Mr. Greenall. And as I said in a previous recording, I lived in a house down Anchor Yard, and I used to spend all my time in Mr. Greenall's farmyard, which is this is Mr. Greenall's house.
Yeah, very nice looking house it is, isn't it?
It's a big old solid thing, yes.
Well, and that's gone now as well.
No, that's still there. That's right dead opposite the Anchor. That's where, is it Burwell Taxis run out? Brown's Taxis. Yeah. The Roy Brown's sons run a taxi service from there now. Well, Roy Brown died fairly recently, and his sons run the farm, and they do taxis and do all sorts. This is Freddie Bignor, our baker. Now, just past, going down the street on your right, was Fred Bignor, the baker's, and he used to deliver bread in this here wagon. And when he opened his ovens in the morning, that used to smell all the way up North Street. Lovely. And when you go to Tesco's now, there's so much bread. That's confusing which sort you were. Brown one, white one, thick one, thin one. With Freddie Bignor, you had a choice, a big one or a little one. And it did, and it wasn't wrapped. You used to have to cut it, and they used to come and throw it on the table, and the crust would fly.
Oh, right.
It was good bread. Yes. So now, I don't know, that's like eating a piece of leather sometimes. I don't know what he's doing. Well, he's down North Street, but that's Henry Harrell's father, that is.
The butcher
of the top industry. Yeah. Now, this is looking down the street, looking up from the Anchor. Where are we now? Yes. That's confusing when they got them in different ways. I think the anchor is this one, because that's a street light, yes. That's the antique shop. That's the anchor pub.
Oh, yes, recognise that.
Yeah. And I showed you the photograph of the time. The cottage I lived in was down there. And
not a photograph of your cottage, then?
Well,
not, I haven't got one of the...
Not in there. There is in other books, I think. And going further down North Street, this is... I'm not sure where this is now. Burnt Yard was... I think that must be part of Burnt Yard. Whoop. Not much. This is used to be Roger Fuller's butcher's shop, but that's been renovated up. That's a very old house, that is. I'm not sure of the number, but that's just past the anchor. Here was Redhead's fish shop, fish and chip shop. Previous to that, it used to be a sweet shop, and I think in that yard is where Not the basket maker used to operate from. And it's now, if you go down North Street, it's they sell plants and stuff, like a little nursery. Further down is the Baptist Chapel. That's further down on your right. Here shows you the old village pump. And just beyond that, you can see the wall of the Baptist Chapel, so that'll give you some idea where the pump was. And in the distance, you can see St. Andrew's Church. That's one of the chimneys, and the bell is on the top, but that's not there now. Here's another picture of Hobbs's shop, where my mother used to do most of her shop, and you could buy anything there, all your groceries, odds and ends of drapery, paraffin, leather to mend your boots with, lamp glasses.
Right.
Chicken's meal, nails.
Oh, complete.
A complete little shop, you know, not the...
So that was more or less like the open all hours shop?
Yeah, four candles.
Yes.
Yes, you could buy paraffin, bacon. There's a big machine there for doing your bacon. You cut your bacon, sugar, just... Everything you needed, really. Further up the village was a shoe shop where you got your boots from. But there was leather here to mend your shoes with. There was all the little blakeys and stuff. Oh. And the little nails you used to knock it on with, yes. Boot polish. Many a times I've been down over a can for a gallon of paraffin for the lamps. There's another one of Hobbs's shop with the Baptist Chapel opposite.
So these are now private houses as well?
Yes. And just beyond Hobbs's shop, some of the prettiest little houses in Burwell, they knocked down, and they've got a big bungalow in there now called the Fenman's Roost or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah. But there was... two little cottages there, and I don't know where it was, perhaps where find a head on of them in a minute. This is what I mean of Hobbs' shop. Look, buckets, chests, leather, all the stuff in there. And Christmas
carpets?
Yeah.
Huh. So what did he do with them all at night? Did he have to take them all in?
All this has probably been brought out for a photograph, but that was a fair space inside, and he had a sort of bit of a barn or a warehouse at the back where he'd keep all that lot in. But see, that's a linen basket there.
What are they? What are they?
I don't know quite what they are.
And a decapitated head.
Yeah. And this, I don't know, what do you think that is?
Another one of those Queen celebration things.
Yeah, that's what it is, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. I think that was Mr. Hobbs, who I knew his father. This is Mr. Hobbs doing his deliveries. He used to deliver stuff in the sidecar. It's his spades, forks, heaters, all that sort of stuff.
Right. Oh, and the boaters.
Yeah. So the groceries are in that window there.
So he changed his windows regularly then?
Yeah, it looks as if he must have done.
Yeah.
Christmas time, you know, when we was kids, there wasn't many toys available, so he used to make toys. He used to make stuff like that.
Oh, right.
He'd make a wooden ship with all sprigs in for the handrails and all this sort of thing. But there, us kids didn't get many toys, and we used to think it was marvellous. This is Parade is just passing the bottom of Toys Lane. It was 1961 they must have been doing a sewer. This is Hobbs' shop again. And just past Hobbs' shop was another little farmyard. Right at the bottom of Toys Lane was George Dyson. That's Mr. Dyson. That's Mr. Dyson's horse. And on here, we have three farmers. We have Johnny Watson, who farmed further down the street. Harry Cranfield was a farmer with his special policeman's uniform. He was a special constable, and that was George Dyson, the farmer. And that was right at the bottom of Toys Lane. That's 1977. Got a couple of buses coming out of Toys Lane now. Whoops. This is a big barn which was in North Street. It stood back a bit in between the Anchor Pub and Hobbs' shop. And that was one of the biggest barns in Burwell, and that's been converted into a living home now. Just beyond Hobbs' shop, this is George Dyson's yard with a barn at the bottom, which has also been made into a house. That is George Dyson's house at the bottom of Toys Lane. And that is the end of that book. Well, I don't know
so that was volume 13A.
Yeah. I don't know how that came out. Terrible, I think. I thought that'd be... I hadn't looked all that close, so I thought that'd be...
More in order.
Yeah.
And this is going on to volume 13B.
Yeah. Here we are for time. All right. Ah, yes. We now got beyond Toys Lane. And on our left, you can see the pub sign for the Rose Pub. That's a private house now. There's another one of the Rose prop. These are those pretty little cottages I told you
about,
who have been demolished. Yeah, and that's just one bungalow in there now. Just beyond that is the Rose Pub. But if that had been done up,
it looked quite nice.
They would have looked. No, there was two. All the Howe family lived in this one, and the Bridgemans lived in that one. We're still in North Street. Now we come and St Andrew's Church, just previous to St Andrew's Church, I think you can see it on this Gilson photograph, is a yard of houses which there was four houses up there as far as I remember. Mr Perkis, the Newberys, the Bittons and the Kilbys. They went up one side and across the top with the outbuildings on the other side. That was all demolished and one bungalow has been built there. Then we get St Andrew's Church. St Andrew's Church was decommissioned in the 1980s, I think, and that's now a sort of commercial concern doing fire alarms. This is another sort of general view of North Street with all the old houses on end. And the story is, when the Fen got flooded, these houses were all over the Fen, so they put rollers on them and towed them out of the Fen onto the high ground.
Oh, right.
And towing anything, it always towed better the narrow way on, so that's why they're always...
Oh, built that way?
Yes.
Oh, just... right.
That's the tunnel anyway.
What, so theoretically they should, none of them should have any foundations but wheels?
That's right, yes. And see, that's they're all in ways onto the road. There's some more here. Where are we now? This is, I'm not sure.
I can say set up like dominoes.
Yeah, that's the wind has been. Yeah, that's Wiggy King's house, that is now. That's right, and then that's how it's been done up. That's next door. That's Vic Barnes. But, yeah, that's the story about the houses, anyways. Mm. Could be another reason that the gardens were a bit narrow. Sally Hunt, now, somewhere amongst these here Enways houses was a little shop. And looking up the street again we are, you can see the pub sign for the Rose Pub. This is what I was telling you about St Andrew's Yard. That's one house. The outhouses and that come round the other way. But as I said, it was all knocked down and a bungalow put in there. St Andrew's Church in the distance again there. St Andrew's Church was adjacent to St Andrew's School. That's another one of these Enway houses, look.
Hmm.
Now, St Andrew's Church, the church clock is missing there. That's been taken out. These chimneys are still there. When I started school, the infants class was in the church, and not the...
What, the junior?
Yeah, the junior would be in the schoolroom, which was there. Because I went as an infant at 5 years old, I had to go in that door. Teacher was pulling me and Mum was pushing me and I was screaming.
Keen to go then.
Yes. Yes. And that was where we went to school, and it was during the war, and our instructions were if the bombs drop, we'd got to get under the tables. And we heard the policeman... The air raid siren was up in the causeway, so we couldn't. So he used to bike down the street blowing a whistle.
All right.
And I've also been in there when I've heard the town crier. We used to have a town crier in the village. Now, this is inside the church, as it used to be. The infants were down this way, a bit with a curtain across. This is the back of St Andrew's Church. This is Silver Street. And that's the back of which, and High Street is the front of the church. That's another one of St Andrew's Church there. Now, this photograph shows you. That's the teacher's house, that's the schoolhouse, and this wall is the playground, which is on the junction of Silver Street and North Street. It came round like that. Perhaps we'll find a better photograph in a minute. Almost opposite the playground was another pub called the Maid's Head, which I think was that one. This is looking up North Street. There's not one of the school. That's a shame. There's a part of one of this is a school playground. That's the school room. That's teacher's house. And that's the church. And right opposite the school was, it's Briarwood. That's the hostel now for homeless people or something like that.
All right.
And the soldiers were there during the war, and they used to parade on this junction of Silver Street and North Street, and we used to be in the playground and watch them. Soldiers doing a bit of square bashing, yeah. That would be the Maid's Head pub there. That's another one of our schoolroom playground. It's an Andrew's Church.
Further up.
Oh, this is a school being demolished. They like knocking things down in rural. Schoolroom going. That's a church. They would have knocked that down if the Burwell Society hadn't
stopped them.
Yeah. Yeah, in that playground we used to, oh, that wasn't a very big playground, but we used to gallop round there. We used to have play horses and all sorts. Yeah. There's some of these houses anyways onto the road again. This is a teacher's house from the school.
Is this still there?
Yes.
Like I say, I seem to recognise that.
Yeah.
Bit at the front.
That's Briarwood. Behind Briarwood, the Sabbath and Slaughterhouse was. And I think that must be Briarwood Yard there. It's another one of Briarwood. Now, these railings, one day during the war, a lorry came round with three or four men with sledgehammers, and while we was in the school playground, we watched them knock all them railings down and take them away.
Oh, right. Oh, what? Didn't ask?
No, that was just commandeered for the war effort.
Oh, right.
And that's the wall without the railings on.
Doesn't look as impressive, does it?
No, that was all the way down the street. Everywhere had these ornamental railings. They was knocked down. They even took them out the churchyard from, you know, around graves.
Oh, right.
And Mr. Sparks said, they're robbing the dead to kill the living. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's the railings gone. This is some of Burwell House where the soldiers were in doing the war. I think these used to be stables because then that's... I think somebody moved in and done a bit, put windows in the tour. But when we used to play around there, when the soldiers were there, there was mangers in there, as if horses had been in, yeah. This is the playground I used to keep telling you about.
Oh, right.
Yes, and that's looking down North Street. That's the Factory Road. That's the playground again. It wasn't very big, was it?
Yeah.
And that's the Maid's Head pub. Another one in the playground. That's the schoolroom, yeah. Where's it? This is Jim Neal's old house, and he lives in bungalows behind it now. But his old grandfather, I think it was, this big old fir tree, he used to sit in that window and watch us kids messing up. This here, junction here, was our rounders pitch.
Oh, right.
Because there wasn't much traffic down the street in them days. And he used to sit there and sort of scowl on us. I've said to Jim several times, I remember your old granddad, he used to watch every move us kids made. And that is the house again. Where are we now? I'm not sure. That's the same house, and that's Jim Neal's house. That must be Charlie Bridgman's, Charlie Fordham's bungalow. No. I'm not sure where 76 North Street is. It must be a very old, very old house if there's clay bats. That's Briarwood again, isn't it? This is a little wooden bungalow where the Matthew family lived. There was lots of them. I should think there's 8 or 9 children. They all lived in this here little bungalow. It wasn't very big. And that must be Mrs. Matthews there. This is the 1930s, and here it is again. And I think it was called The Haven or something like that. And Jim Neal's mother was one of the Matthews's. And I think that has become that.
Oh, right. Funny.
Yes. Yeah, this is a junction of Silver Street. That's Briarwood. That's next door to Briarwood. Yep.
Yeah.
See how things are older.
Yeah.
See all these old outbuildings and that. But he brought a whole family up there, old George Matthews did. Well, this is Apple Tree Grove. Do you know where that is?
No.
That's off North Street. This is Jim Neal's father was a farmer and they had a bit of land. And when he died, they sold it off and built a housing estate around the back, which is called Apple Tree Grove and Chestnut Rise and that.
Oh, right.
This is 78 North Street. I'm not sure where that one is until I look. Some of these, you know, I'm up and down North Street all the time, but this is Apple Tree Grove, I think, and that's Jim Neal's bungalow. That must be. That's Simpsons. That's the entrance to Apple Tree Grove, just there. That's St Andrew's Church in the distance there. This is another end ways onto the road, and that must be Fred Peachey's old house, I should think. This is Arwen Warren, who had a grocery shop at the bottom of Factory Road. That was Arwen there. And this is where he lived. If you look on the end of his shop, you can see all the Lions tea signs, all the enamel signs. House there. I'm not sure where that one is. That's Owen Warren's again. That's Owen with his. He's pushed his handcart around the village with his groceries in. That's the end of his. When they come to demolish his shop, it was all covered in ivy and they didn't realise all these signs are underneath until they stripped the ivy off. And the chap who was demolishing it or who it belonged to, he quickly got a dealer in and
sold it all up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how our morals are going. There seems to be a lot of them. That must be when they were putting the sewer in, but look at some things. That's Fred Peachy's house. That used to be the Lamb Pub. Beyond that was another end ways onto the road, as where Jim Peachy used to live. That is the entrance to Factory Road. Do you know what? Wendy, or sort of. I've even forgot about a lot of these. I can't recognise them. This became that. That was Jim Peachy's house. That's an old house down in North Street called Adventurous. Is it Adventurous? House of the early 17th century, so that goes back to 1600, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's Frank Hobbs's house. Used to be Mr. and Mrs. Hobbs lived there. I can't remember that building being thatched, but it was a building, still, what I could remember. That's Johnny Watson. That's Johnny Watson's house again, and that became yes. I'm going to recommend this Johnny Watson there, and I'm not sure who the others are. Klondike Farmers, out of the village about half a mile, and it's not a farm anymore. That's where they run a marquee and catering business from. And that's the second row. Right, sorry I couldn't be no more helpful than that.
Okay, that's the two volumes.